Well, today is a special day. It's Communion Sunday, the day when our class of third and fourth graders who've been learning about communion for the last couple of months will join us up here around the altar and receive communion. And it's also Good Shepherd Sunday, if you hadn't noticed yet. On the fourth Sunday of Easter, we always read scripture passages that point us to God as our shepherd. And that is a topic that I actually have some personal experience in. A little known fact about me is that when I was a teenager, I raised sheep. I had always loved animals. We'd had a couple of dogs, some fish, a succession of hamsters. I went through a big horseback riding phase. And I even thought about being a veterinarian until I volunteered in a clinic and saw a surgery. And that was the end of those aspirations for me. But when I was in sixth grade, for reasons that I don't even entirely understand now, I had a great wish to have a lamb. And because my family lived in a farmhouse with a big red barn and a couple of acres of land, this was a wish that my parents decided to fulfill. So they called up some friends who owned sheep, and soon enough, instead of one little lamb, we brought home two pregnant ewes. And within a couple of months, my flock of two went to five, and I had three little lambs. It was very exciting. I joined a 4-H club that was focused on taking care of sheep so I could learn what I was doing. And I participated in this for several years. So I have a lot of memories of what it was like to take care of sheep. I remember a lot of time spent feeding them and watering them, lots of mishaps of them getting hurt and sick, which they seem to have a real knack for doing, and many cold winter mornings in Maine getting up early to take care of them before I went to school. They required a lot of work, but they also brought me a lot of joy and companionship over the years. And so it's interesting to me that the Bible says over and over again that God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. It's an image that is very common and feels very familiar to us. But one thing I love about the Bible is that when we take time to study even really familiar passages like Psalm 23, something new and surprising can come out of it for us. And one way to discover something new about the Bible is to learn more about the background of what the psalmist is talking about. I've described for you what it's like to raise sheep in Maine, but what was it like to raise sheep in Israel when King David was a shepherd, or when Jesus said, as we heard today, I am the good shepherd? So let's look together at three aspects of sheep herding: what the setting is like, what sheep are like, and who the shepherd is. So first, I'd like to do a little thought experiment. I'd like you to take a few seconds and imagine a flock of sheep with their shepherd. Got it? Okay. I wonder, where do you picture them and what is around them? Chances are good when most of us call up the image of sheep, it looks a lot like the setting where I raise sheep. My sheep had a couple of acres of grassy fields to graze in the summer. They had a warm barn to sleep in when the weather was cold, and we had an outdoor pump where they could get water. We had fences for them to keep out the dogs or even coyotes that might try to harm them. So when we hear in the psalm that the Lord makes his sheep to lie down in green pastures and lead them beside quiet waters, we probably think of a very idyllic, peaceful, green land. Basically, sheep heaven, where sheep spend all their time moseying around, munching their way across a big field of grass, and heading over to get a drink of water whenever they want. But that is not what sheep herding was like in Israel. There are some green fields in valley areas of Israel, but because that land is limited, it tends to be used for farmland for growing crops, not for grazing animals. Instead, shepherds would take their flocks of sheep out beyond the villages and the fields into the semi-arid wilderness. Remember in the Christmas story how the shepherds are tending their flocks out in the fields when the angels appear to them? The fields around Bethlehem are not green fields nicely divided up into squares. Instead, the wilderness in Israel is a sprawling and rocky ground. Biblical scholar Ray Vanderlaan shares about his experience living with a Bedouin family when he was a young man who kept flocks of sheep. They were nomadic people who lived in tents, so there were no barns stuffed with backup bales of hay, and they didn't have fences to keep out the wolves or the bears. They lived life on the move, and their sheep did too. The shepherds would head out every day, leading their sheep and walking several miles to find enough food and water for their sheep. Some areas of the wilderness in Israel have patchy areas of grass, especially in the spring. But when you look out across the wilderness, you see a lot more rock than grass. In fact, Vanderlaan says, if you watch the flocks of sheep move across the hillsides in Israel, you wonder if they are rock-eating sheep. From a distance, there appears to be no grass at all. But closer up, you can see little clumps of grass, each one enough for just a few bites. Because there isn't much rain that falls here. But interestingly, being near the Mediterranean, there's moist air that comes across the wilderness, and it leaves condensation on the rocks. And from that condensation, small tufts of grass grow around the edges of a rock. And that is what sheep in Israel spend a lot of their time looking for and eating. It might sound like less idyllic than what we initially picture, but I think this setting is actually really reassuring because it means that Psalm 23 isn't a sentimental depiction of sheep heaven, of a perfect life where, because God is our shepherd, we have all the food we could want at any time, and we just spend our days lounging by still water. The psalm isn't telling us that if God is in our life, our problems or challenges will vanish. Instead, it's telling us that when life feels like a wilderness, when we walk through barren places, even through the valley of the shadow of death, God will be faithful to give us our daily bread. Sometimes God's provision in our life feels very abundant and lavish, like God is preparing a table before us in the wilderness and pouring out so much wine that our cup overflows. But at other times, God's provision might feel like just a little tuft of grass to get us by. In communion, we receive just one small wafer and one small sip of wine. And every year in communion class, we talk about how that wafer is actually bread, even though it doesn't really look like it. Those small elements aren't meant to fill our physical stomachs. Instead, they are simple visual reminders of the daily bread that God gives us, the grace that God has given us in Christ. And they are meant to sustain us on our journey of faith as we are on the move with God. No matter what we're going through when we come to the altar rail, the bread and wine reassure us that we belong to the Good Shepherd, who will never leave us or forsake us. So that's what the setting is like in Israel. What might we learn about ourselves from what the Bible says about sheep and what sheep are like? I usually hear that sheep are pretty dumb. They have a lack of intelligence. And there are plenty of animals that are smarter than sheep. But I don't think that God is trying to insult our intelligence by comparing us to sheep. There are two qualities of sheep that we see in these passages from today. They are dependent and they are trusting. Domesticated sheep aren't like bighorn sheep or mountain goats who can live alone in the wilderness and take care of themselves. Sheep are not good at getting what they need for themselves. They permanently rely on their shepherd for all their basic needs. And as much as we might not like to admit it, at bottom, we humans are pretty dependent too. We get hungry and thirsty and tired. We need food, not just for our bodies, but for our souls. And that needs to come from something outside of us. We need faith and hope and love. And we can't drum up those things for ourselves. It's hard to admit that because we live in a culture that prizes being independent and self-made and self-sufficient. But have you ever noticed when we come forward for communion that when we kneel down, we hold out empty hands, ready to receive? We don't bring anything with us to show God what we've done for him that week. Instead, we come forward admitting our need to receive nourishment from God for that day and for the week ahead. So sheep are dependent, but they also can be very trusting once they have developed a bond with their shepherd. After they've spent some time around their shepherd, they will recognize their voice, and they will show that trust by following their shepherd. I had an experience with one of my sheep that revealed the strength of that bond. I kept sheep for several years, but as I got into high school, it was time to wind down my sheep venture, and we had two sheep who were left who a nearby farmer offered to take and add to his flock. And one of those sheep was a sheep whom I had had since she was born, and I had named her Zoe. She'd been born on our farm, and most of the lambs who were born on our farm were sold, but Zoe was the only one whom I kept and saw her grow up. She had lambs of her own. She was my real favorite, so I was very sad to see her go. Sometime after, she and her the other ewe went to their new home, my parents and I decided to go and visit them. It had been several months since I had seen them, so I wasn't sure what would come of us visiting them. They'd been mixed in with a bunch of other sheep. They were accustomed to a different farm and a different owner, so I wasn't sure that they would have any interest in me. So we got to this farmer's barn, and I called out for my sheep, and I kid you not, I heard Zoe start bawling back at me. And pretty soon, she came over to the side of the barn where we were standing. It turns out she did remember me, even after all that time. This week, I found some photos that my dad took that day of me with Zoe, and what I noticed was the sheep that belonged to the other farmer were standing in the background, looking in every other direction. They had no interest in me at all. But Zoe was there right beside me, rubbing her head up against me, letting me scratch her chin, letting me pat her head. And it was a powerful picture of that bond that still had remained after that time apart. Sheep really have the ability to bond with their shepherd and to develop a trusting relationship. So I believe the Bible compares us to sheep to encourage us to put our trust in the Good Shepherd, just the way a sheep depends on and trusts their shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He's not distant or disengaged. He's active and involved, working tirelessly to keep his sheep alive and fed and safe, ready to defend them, like the shepherd boy David did when his sheep were attacked. A good shepherd knows his sheep well, and he loves them so much that he is willing to lay down his life for them. So, as you come forward today, and every time that you take communion in the years ahead, I pray that you will hear the voice of your good shepherd saying to you, "Come to this table that I've prepared for you out of my great love for you. Come and eat." Thanks be to God.